Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Update. My name is Sequoia, and I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And tonight on Good News Update, it's our pleasure to talk with someone that we often hear after 5, but do not get to hear from in this early portion of the program. Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Welcome to Good News Update.
Thank you.
We thought that it would be fun tonight and perfect to talk about the Africa blogs. Jen is winding her way home right now from Zambia, and it's not a secret, Michael, that you're one of our biggest or most vocal fans with about the Africa blogs. I just wondered if you could maybe start and tell us, there may be someone listening tonight who's not read the blogs or knows anything about the blogs. Do you want to tell us just a little bit about what the Africa blogs are?
Sure. So the Africa trip blogs are a detailed, feels like very detailed, in the moment recording of everything that's going on with the project in Africa when the team from this side of the Atlantic is over there and meeting with everybody.
Yes. Very detailed, very colorful, very informative.
Yes.
And could you tell us a little bit about what you particularly enjoy about the blogs, or what makes you such a big fan of the blogs?
Sure. There are many things I love about the blog, and it was fun just thinking about, you know, what that is before we talk tonight.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things I kind of just mentioned, and it's really the feel of, if I'm not kind of on the plane with Jen and, you know, can't make it all the way over there, this is very close to, you know, the best thing, because I feel like I'm right there, you know, with everybody, with Jen, with the newest team members, with everything that's going on. I'm, you know, staying at Castle Lodge and going into town to get the kwacha and the bank, and then driving out to Cantalamba. I really feel like I'm right there. You know, everything is kind of right in front of me. It's great.
It's true. They do have that ability to just bring us there, and so that we're experiencing this wonderful opportunity to visit with these folks on another, whole other side of the world. And you know, the blogs have been going on for so long now. One of the things is it's just great fun to look, follow the blogs and watch the children grow up and just see the changes in the community.
Yes, exactly. Another thing I love about it is that it's undeniably practice. It's practice.
Undeniably practice, yes.
Yeah, it's like the expression of practice in service. It's in a new location, it's different people, but, you know, what's clear to me is it's the same practice. There's the kindness, the compassion, the attention to detail, the focus on possibility, holding the big picture. It's so inclusive. You know, it's just so obviously practice.
Yes. And it's so inspiring, isn't it, just to see practice in action that way, and just to observe and read about the transformation that's happening through simply being practice.
Yes. It's like it shows, it's like another facet of the jewel of practice. There's practice in the form that I'm, you know, often familiar with, which is meditation and group and on retreat. And here it is in a, you know, a whole different place, in a whole different context. And what's so obvious is that practice works everywhere, all the time.
Everywhere, all the time, even if you speak Bemba.
Even if you speak Bemba. I'm trying to remember that word for thank you. Twatotela.
Twatotela. Do you want to tell folks what that means?
I think it means thank you.
Yes.
And the other word that's coming to mind is almost coming to mind, something like ukwafaya, which was the word for participation, which is the theme of the bridge walk for this past year.
Yes. Another big advantage of our work in Zambia is that we've all learned a little Bemba.
Yes.
I know when I was there last March, the women were so patient with me, teaching me Bemba. And it's such a fun language. It's very musical. And they were great teachers. Is there anything more that, you know, that comes to you that you'd love to share about the blogs? I know one thing for me is I just love seeing those smiling faces of the kids.
Oh, yes. There are many things that come to mind for me, and that's one of them. And what I love about the smiles is that in this culture, it feels like the conditioned story is, I need to have a lot of material things to be happy.
Yeah.
And it kind of undercuts that story quite a bit to see so many smiling faces in circumstances that many of us would be really challenged in.
That is so true. I challenge anybody to go to the blog, click on it, and look at one of those smiling faces and not break out in a big grin. You know, it's infectious.
Yes, it's great. Another thing I want to mention, and I'm sure you're aware of this, is that I can get the sense reading the blog that there's an additional reporter kind of following Jen and the team around and taking pictures and writing this up, and I don't think that's true. it's Jen and the whole team, and they are working all day long, as far as I can tell, and in the nighttime, I think they're writing blogs and sending those pictures, and the dedication, and, you know, it's so timely. I'm finding out the next day what has gone on. What a commitment. It's just great.
Absolutely. I was thinking that same thing, Michael, as I looked to the blog, and it took a trip for Africa for me to experience that. To really appreciate that the folks that are there on the ground are the ones that are writing the blogs and doing the photographs. And it's actually a really fun part of the trip to come back in the evening and to just get down what it is that spoke to your heart that day and the things that you observed. It's a really wonderful opportunity.
And I have a couple notes here about the blogs on this particular trip.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, if I go ahead and share some of those?
Sure.
Okay.
We've got a couple of minutes, and you're the host,
great.
So I guess you know when to cut us off.
Great. It's fun to hear about the focus on learning English as really the critical tool for getting out of poverty.
Uh-huh.
And what I was reading in these blogs is really the hunger of the children there to soak in English, and they're always looking for books and gravitating around Jen reading, and it's really great, and it's fun to support that.
It's so true. They want to soak everything up. You know, they're just curious and interested in it all.
Yes. Another fun thing I enjoyed was the leadership meeting was starting, and the rains sounded like the heavens opened up, and really they couldn't even continue the meeting because it was so loud.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just sat in silence, and there was no fidgeting, and it was really, as I read it, just a period of meditation. And how beautiful is that?
Very beautiful. And the rain there can be extremely loud. And for everyone to just sit like that in silence, it is very beautiful.
Yes.
So we are coming to the end of our time here. I just wanted to, do you have any way to or want to share with folks how you access the blogs? I know, do you want to say where you find them?
Yes. Sure. So the way I'm finding them right now, and you may have better information, is to go to the Living Compassion homepage.
Uh-huh.
And there is a link there that will take people on to the trip blogs. And I believe you can also get to them through the Africa page as well.
Yes. Yes. If folks go on to, you know, just like you said, the Living Compassion homepage, they'll see a link right there to they can either look at the blog from the current Africa trip or past trips, and now I know, and they can also look at Melinda's blog, who is a wonderful man who lives in the area, who does his a blog of the Cantalomba compound, and that's a great blog to check out too.
Great.
Well, Michael, thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Sequoia. It's a great pleasure, privilege.
And enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, will do.
All right. Bye, Michael.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Fabulously well. How about yourself?
I'm great. I was noticing the gratitude building as the showtime came.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love hearing you two talk about the work in Cantalomba and the blog. And I particularly liked what you said about how obvious it is that it's practice. And I thought that was really, you know, because I think there's something, I know there's something, but people ask me, you know, why would you want to do that? I mean, you have a meditation practice. What are you doing in that? And especially that's connected to off with there's so much work done in our own country, which is true. There is a lot. There's a lot everywhere. And we just happen to be invited there. So that's what we're doing there. And we're practicing. And they're practicing. Even though we never, ever have conversation about practice. We're still all practicing together in the ways you indicated, living in kindness, compassion, and presence, and to be as aware as we can in everything we do and how we are with one another, how we are with the land, and I really enjoyed that.
Sherry, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I'm not sure if it's
here.
That's a little better. Thank you.
That's so good. You know, let me know if it continues, okay?
Okay.
Is this okay right now?
Yes, and I can't tell if it's my phone or your phone, but I'm hearing you good right now.
Okay, well, I laundered my earbuds. And I suspect that that's not always the best approach with them. So if it be a problem again, let me know. It's probably me, and I'll make another plan.
Okay, great. So I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And we're ready to get started, Sherry.
Good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry from San Francisco.
Well, good evening, Sherry.
Well, good evening. It's always kind of a shock. It's kind of a shock when you're...
Oh, me?
I was kind of like in for the long haul, you know, just sitting, thinking, oh, this is great, you know, and woof.
Uh-huh. You know, that's good, though. It's a lot like life, isn't it?
That's right.
You're just kind of going along, dee-dee-dee-dee, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's something. And it's always good to be ready.
It is. Always.
And I know that you're not ready because you don't plan ahead what you're going to talk about. So you just have to be ready in the moment.
That's what I'm so grateful for because, you know, I don't have to worry about being first and not knowing what to say because I don't know what I was going to say anyway. So
if you were 12, you wouldn't have known what you were going to say. So
it's the
always ready, unprepared place from which to live.
And I can tell you conditioning is not happy at all about this particular practice. I mean, it's not happy about our practice in general, but it's really not happy.
Well, and that's such an interesting distinction, isn't it? Because being unhappy, of course, is when it's happy.
Yes.
Yes. It likes to complain and grouse and try to make us believe that it's really distressed. And it is kind of distressed. That is its nature. But there are two ways that shows up, right? One is when it's griping about, say, the fact that you didn't prepare any remarks for this event, which is not necessarily a sign that there's anything going on with it, except it wants to torment you, and that's the current possibility for torture.
Yes. Yes.
But when it really gets unhappy is when we start enjoying the fact that we are immune to its antics.
Yes. And so, right. So I think it's starting to kick up more of a fight lately. I've noticed the last couple times when I'm, the day that I'm scheduled to call in, of course I know it's on the calendar, and so I noticed it's like really stinky lately.
Yes, because you're going to do it. So it builds, it builds and builds and builds and builds, and it gets to that point where it's really doing the worst that it can do, and you're not caving. And that I think is the point where it really. It goes from faux distress designed to distress you to actual distress where it's starting to realize that it's in trouble, because if it can't control you, if it can't require you to attend to it, then its juice supply is being cut off in a way that's really good for you and really dangerous for it.
I know, and I'm just, so grateful, because I love this. I mean, I love whoever it was that started calling in and saying, hey, I'm scheduling the calls. I don't know who first started doing that, but that was brilliant, because, there's no, then it's just on the schedule. And, sorry.
Yes, well, and it counts on people caving. That's how it maintains control. It's like a child in that way. Once kids get information that if they stay at something long enough, their parents are going to give in. It is truly creating a monster, because the possibility that it's going to work. That gives it all the oomph. And so when people get to a point in practice where they're not going to give in, so this latest email class, of course, has been all about making commitments and keeping them.
Right.
The C-TRAC has the changing behavior to maintain a changing consciousness. And when people make that sort of commitment, conditioning is really looking at the handwriting on the wall, because if it can't badger you into giving it what it wants, then it's not getting anything.
Yes, yes, and what I just saw while you were talking that was so helpful is that I've been having a fabulous time talking to people about the recording and listening practice. It has been just one of the most energizing things I've ever done. And conditioning is so hugely distressed by this project that it is just, kicking up its heels. And I really want to out it. It just dropped in about that, and I thought, good, this is great, because I'm talking to you and I can just out it. you know.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. As you know, telling on it, outing it, is the very best thing that we can do. It just takes all of this power. So,
right, and
there it is. Of course you don't want me to do this. It makes me really happy. It keeps me in the present. It brings me joy. Of course you don't want me to do it.
Right, and it's pulling out all of its stops of like, oh, this is becoming such a huge project. You're not up to it. You can't, you know, like everything it's got around, everything it knows about me, you know, like it's like
yes.
pulling out. And
you can't
all,
do it. You're not up to it. It's too big for you. You.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm so happy. I'm just so happy to be, you know, here talking to you, like not letting it win.
Yes, because the only reasonable response to that is, I hear that you are not up to it.
So yeah.
You don't have to do it. The good news is I'm doing it and I love it now. Go haunt another house, please.
Did you say go find another house, please?
Go haunt another house.
Oh,
yeah.
Go haunt.
Move out. Go somewhere else. Yeah.
Oh,
that shift in the balance of power is so important. You know, because as we know, it cannot stand to be mocked. It hates that worse than anything. So when we get to the point of being able to laugh at it. Good day.
It's a great day. I'm gonna head out so more people can get on, and I'm just so grateful.
Me too. Good to hear from you. Let's talk again in a month or so, if not before.
Will do. Deep God show to you and Michael. Bye bye.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Well, good middle of the night to you.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I'm really good, thank you. I'm not going to talk for too long because Poppy's here. She's awake. And
well, good.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I'd just sort of say a little bit about the what I've been up to. I'll just talk briefly. So I've been keeping my petrol half full in my car.
Excellent.
Yeah. Excellent. So that's been really good. And I've been doing the email class, and I've signed up for the next bit. So that was a nice surprise when I checked my email just recently. So some support throughout December there.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, I see what you're saying. That went out today, didn't it? And you signed on to stay with us through to the new year.
That's right, yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so
when people started asking about that, I thought, oh, it's we can't abandon one another going into the holidays, for heaven's sake. We can't do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Yeah. And the email class has been really fantastic. They're always really fantastic, but it's been really, really, really great this time. Maybe it's because I've been working even harder, I don't know. But the voice of the mentor is really, really, really strong. And the area where it's where I've really found it really good is I've got a recording. I've got a few strands and I add to them each day. But one recording is titled You Can Do It. And it's just sort of different ways of saying you can do it, whatever it happens to be. Because I've realized I have a really strong voice that tells me that I can't do things. and there's a barrage of reasons, excuses and obstacles as to why I can't do X, Y and Z. So that's been really good. And what I've noticed is the voice is saying, you can do it, Anna. So it's a grown-up mentor speaking to a small parts of me, for sure. And it's just coming into my head just naturally throughout the day, and it always surprises me because of that I've realized that I'm so used to hearing the negative voices telling me that I can't, and so I'm kind of surprised by these voices that just pop in that at the right moment saying you can do this, and I go, oh okay, I can do this, and then I do it.
Yeah. It really is like magic, isn't it? It just feels miraculous. Well, it is miraculous, I suppose. And that the voice is there just at the right time. I just love it. And I'm glad to hear it. And it's my experience too that the classes just get well. I love the way the staff, you know, aka June, came up with that, putting all the responses in together instead of I thought that was just because I got to then do the responses that way. You know, I'd answer pretty in the A track and then the C track, and there's a, you know, and so just watching people go through the various stages of awareness, and it does feel that with each class, people's awareness is expanding dramatically, really deepening, breathtaking insights and awarenesses that people were sharing in this class.
So thank you, and I'm looking forward to December.
Good.
And I'll speak to you when I always know. So the previous caller was talking about commitments. My commitment is I just call whenever I don't have to go to work the next day. And everybody's on strike here tomorrow in Britain. So,
oh my goodness! Because
they're on strike to do with work, pensions, and cutbacks and that sort of thing. So.
Oh.
You
hate to have people suffer and struggle, and it's nice for us that you call in.
That's right. Yes.
All right.
Okay. I'm gonna put Poppy on. She's not had any problems or issues, and that's why she's not been calling. So she's just gonna call you and tell you how good she's doing.
Well, how fabulous is that? We have to hear that. Okay. All
okay.
Right.
Thank
night.
You. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Hello.
Hi, Poppy. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thanks.
I heard a rumor that we haven't heard from you because you're doing so well.
Yeah, that's right. I was just going to kind of give an update.
Oh. How are you managing that?
I think that I've been really sort of paying attention to sort of my needs, and rather than listening to voices that might tell me to do things that maybe I don't actually want to do.
Wow. You know, I'm so glad you didn't say, well, I've just been really lucky.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that's never it. So paying attention to what goes on with you and choosing to take good care of yourself instead of getting pulled into conditioning shenanigans results in a good life.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you can remember the last time I called, but it was a really long time ago.
Really long.
It was that I had a lot of anxiety about starting university.
Yes.
And that was basically the issue. And loads of things kind of happened since then where I'd been feeling loads of pressure to do things like move away to go to university and, you know, get some independence and experience a new city and things like that. But I was just getting really freaked out and like I said, I started doing the thing where I actually listened to what I actually wanted to do. And so I decided to go to my local university and live at home and things like that. And I've been doing the course for a few months now, and it's just everything's been really great, like my mom said.
Oh, that is wonderful. Wonderful to hear. It makes me really happy, and it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
So, it really is, because an awful lot of people just don't get it, that taking care of yourself, of applying heavy doses of compassion and kindness to oneself really does make life work, and is a great gift to everybody else. Well, good.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you in your schooling now?
Sorry?
What year are you?
I'm in my first year. I've only just started, really.
So it was
pretty scary.
Okay, good. So you just started in the fall.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, all right. I don't want to lose track of you, know, because you know, when you started out, you were like a little kid, and
yeah.
I don't want you to, you know, like graduate from university.
Oh no. Well, I'm 19 now, for reference.
Wow. All right. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's wonderful to hear from you. And
yeah, great.
Know that you're doing well, and just keep doing well, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Poppy and Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure. What's going on?
I'm calling because I found myself getting upset about something during the email class, and I just wanted to know if I could ask you about it and find out what's true.
Sure.
Okay, I was experienced during the email class. Maybe this is my conditioning, maybe this is projection, but I just want to ask you because I was upset. It felt like people who were responding to the assignments with, you know, I feel gratitude, I feel joy, or something along those lines, you were very positive about. But if people were responding with any sort of, you know, they felt struggle or, you know, they were having any negativity or anything, it felt like you were very, you were slamming them and you were kind of harsh and not very compassionate and not the Sherry Huber that it felt like a different, yeah.
Okay. So here's the deal. I think if you read back over some of those, there are several components. One, when people are doing the work and they're having good results, of course, I'm going to be extremely positive, right? Because that's the whole point, doing the work and receiving the results. When people are struggling and they're really legitimately struggling, I'm very supportive. When they are identified with conditioning and they are letting conditioning right in, I'm not supportive at all.
Uh-huh.
Is this the difference?
But
so if somebody
writes
in and says, I'm not recording and listening, I don't see that there's any point to it. I'm not I'm not going to be supportive. Why would I be?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a stuck place. Now, are they stuck? Yeah. But they're not coming from a place of the human being who is stuck behind that condition. So there were some other places where I was quite firm with people. And that's when they would say things like, I don't see why you're so negative about the voice. I don't see why you're so hard on self-hate. You know, it's just the mind doing what the mind does. Well, if you read what people write in about what it's like to be hideously tortured by voices, to live for years in depression, to be miserable, to see no way out, to be completely stressed, I'm not going to say to those people, well, you know, you just need to realize that that's just the mind doing what the mind does. I'm going to fight for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my experience that the voices of self-hate are not benign. I mean, I have known people who were, in fact, talked into killing me because of voices in their head. So I don't think it's a harmless little benign thing that we're dealing with here.
No, I hate the voices. I fight them. I want liberation. I'm not one of the people who, I hate them and I revile them.
Good.
But
then we're on the same team.
No, I take my bat and hit the pillow and, you know, get angry at the voices. But also being a newcomer, there's sometimes when, I mean, I know it's obvious to you when what I say or write is conditioning, but sometimes for me it's confusing whether it's, you know, my real feeling or conditioning. And like with the assignment on to write a list of all your efforts about self-growth, and I wrote that, you know, I just felt overwhelmed when I thought of all my self years in self-growth programs, and you wrote back, stop it, and good grief, with exclamation points, and it was just...
That's right. And now, first of all, let me say this, Elizabeth. I want to really congratulate you on your courage to call in and have this conversation. Okay? So let's establish that right now. Because a lot of people would just go off and say, oh, Sherry, there's a teeny thing to do, and I don't want to do with her anymore. So let me tell you what I was responding to about that. You looked at all of the things that you've done, and it was an impressive list, right?
Yeah.
It's an impressive list. But what you then let conditioning do is turn that into a negativity. So you went from, here's this big long list of things that you've done, which you could have just stopped at and felt really good about. You could have congratulated yourself, said, oh my God, this is amazing, and there you are. But what you did is then turn it over to conditioning for a negative spin on. That's what I was trying to get you to stop doing.
Okay, that makes sense. But how would I know that was what the lesson I should have or could have learned? Because all I saw was stop it and good grief, and I just thought, oh my God, anything I write is wrong.
Okay.
And
so there you are. You just did it again, right? So then you turn it over to conditioned mind to assess that, and you get that negative conclusion again. Now, what you could do, first of all, what you could do is what you did, which is pick up the phone and call, right? So that's good, because that's how we stay with practice, right? You don't understand something. There are two ways to go about it if you're going to do awareness practice. You can assume that somebody is being mean to you, or you could assume that conditioned mind is interpreting what's going on. You could figure that I'm attempting see what I'm pointing you toward, or you would listen to conditioning and you would quit.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Now, first of all, you know, you could tell there were hundreds of people in that class, right? And so there's no way that, it, you know, 50 words or fewer people are writing in. I'm attempting to write back, not too much more than that, just for the sake of, you know, not overwhelming people with more than they're ever going to be able to read in this lifetime. So I cannot, in a class like that, go into the kind of detail that would be probably helpful for people. Generally speaking, if people are following along reading the responses, they have that growing sense of where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And, of course, the encouragement always is to continue practicing. Because there's, mm-hmm. you know, practice is vast. It's huge. You know, I've been doing it for a really long time, and I'm still learning a lot every day. So if we, you know, if the one thing you get out of that class is to be suspicious of voices in your head and what they're telling you, I will have done my work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that makes sense. I guess I just wonder, is there a place for me in doing things like this in the community, in your Sangha, if, you know, I'm not I feel love and gratitude and joy and happy, happy, joy, joy, if I'm not, like, going to have answers like that and, you know,
well,
at least
the,
not right.
The people that I'm responding to who have that answer are having that experience. You know, it's not like people are writing that in, just making it up.
Uh-huh.
So they are having a transforming experience. Did I ever respond positively to anything you said?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, yes, when you have an experience of awakening, when you you really get something, when there's clarity, I'm just going to be there cheering because it makes me incredibly happy when people see things and get a little bit freer from suffering. But when conditioning has you, I'm going to attempt to slap conditioning. Now, the thing for you to get if you're going to do practice is I'm never slapping you. I'm always slapping conditioning.
So if it feels like I'm getting slapped, that's conditioning.
Then you know that you're identified with conditioning.
Okay.
Because I want your liberation. And you know, Elizabeth, the thing about it is, and this is kind of hard to imagine, but in many, many cases, in fact, just about all the time, I want it to be released. It'll take you a long time before you want your liberation as much as I want it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a sense of that? I never lose sight of who we're working to save. Sometimes you will.
Okay. No, I mean, that makes sense, and that's why I wanted to ask you. I guess just sometimes it's feeling like I can't write the honest thing in the email. I have to write the, you know,
if you write the honest thing from your heart, from Elizabeth, you will always get support and encouragement. If you let conditioning have your fingers and type in conditioned responses, it'll get slapped. My job. But I'll tell you this. a great potential as a Zen student, or you wouldn't have called.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So don't let it.
Okay. Well, let me just think about all this and.
Don't think about it. Nope. Don't think about it because you know thinking is just inviting the voices in to give you their perspective. Just go to your heart and know that that there's nothing in practice that's not going to support your heart.
Mm.
Ever.
Okay.
And you might consider, first of all, hopefully you'll join us for the next month's class. We'll have at least four more chances to chat. And also, come to a retreat. Very good way to keep the practice.
Okay. And just for the record, my mentor about this whole issue, my mentor says, it's great for you to express your truth, no matter what anyone says about it.
It's great to express your truth.
Yes.
But it's never great to express what conditioning calls truth. So you want to be careful that the mentor is really the mentor. I'll tell you one quick story, okay? During the Vietnam War, there were Buddhist monks who poured gasoline on themselves and lit themselves on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And a Zen teacher was asked about it. And he said, you must always ask yourself, how Buddhist is Buddhist? In other words, anybody can call themselves anything. But do they act in keeping with what they say they are? So you'll notice in the class, there were times when I just flatly said to people, that's not the mentor. Because the mentor would never say that.
Mm-hmm.
Be one careful. If you're getting information from, I'm making little quote marks in the sky here, from the mentor that encourages you in something that is not actually supportive of you, then you want to look askance at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So express
yourself sincerely from your heart, from authenticity, from the human being, absolutely. That'll never be your truth.
All right. Well, thank you for talking to me about this.
Well, you are very welcome. Call in and talk to me again, huh?
Okay, because it did mean a lot to me to be able to talk to you about this.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the effort very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to say these things.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Hi, This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dennis calling from New York.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Yeah, I've been really enjoying the show so far, actually. I got a lot from the last few calls.
Good. What's going on?
Well, one thing I've been looking at lately is what happens when I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And basically what's going on is that I've tended to have a lot of anxiety, especially in the evening. That's when I've recognized it the most. And over the last year, I've done a lot of meditation and mindfulness about it, and it's been tremendously helpful. And so that's kind of gone down a little bit. And then what I've noticed is, I mean, the last couple of weeks, I was going through an especially stressful time, and I started getting anxiety attacks while I was in the process of falling asleep. And I kind of felt like I was in a bit of a catch-22 because you know, I'm trying to be really conscious and aware of what's going on, but then I'm kind of half asleep at the same time.
Yeah.
So one question I had was, what can you kind of really do when you're in that situation?
Yeah, that's a rough one, isn't it? Because it well, on two sides. So you're trying to be really conscious and aware, which sounds like you are. And so when you are in that state, the anxiety isn't there, isn't that bad. And then when you start to fall asleep, you're not there, in essence, taking care of yourself or protecting yourself, and then the anxiety can come in and then, I would imagine, wakes you up, right, in a kind of a terrible.
Yeah. I'll have like a mini gasp or something like that, and I'll think it's the beginning. Well, I mean, I can tell you what kind of what my process has been around it. So, I had full-on panic attacks, which I haven't had in that situation when I was falling asleep. But I'd been doing so much work with anxiety. What I realized after a couple of days, I mean, the first response was try to think of something that it could mean. So first I was convinced that I was starting to have asthma attacks at night. And then I was convinced that the sleep apnea condition I had was getting a lot worse all of a sudden. And then I realized, you know, when I woke up the next morning, first of all, I had no anxiety, and like after a good night's sleep. And I realized, you know, I was just like desperate to try to find some sort of intellectual explanation for what was going on. And then I just said, well, I'm just going to think of some things to remind myself in advance. Like, you know, I made it through this last week, or this doesn't actually mean what I think it means right now. And, you know, I can be here to take care of myself even when I have this sudden feeling that I'm going to die, for example. And that's really helped a lot.
Wow. It's just such a hard place, isn't it? And do you do things like do you record and listen? Is that part of your practice?
I'm coming back to it again. So I find what works for me is to kind of switch things up regularly. So I put it down for a while, but now I started it again, and I think it's going to help me, yeah.
I would project that the person who feels that anxiety, and especially the one who wakes up into it, is young. Because that's a frightening thing to kind of come out of a sleep in a state of fear.
It is
sort of double fear. You know, there's the anxiety, the worry, the whatever that is that's going on, and then to wake up into that is like a second dose of it. So perhaps for that period of time while you're falling asleep, to be listening to something that is comforting and reassuring to the people who would be most affected by that experience.
Yeah.
Follow me on that one? Yeah.
Yeah, I follow you on that. I said I was trying a bunch of different things. So one of them was that I just kept repeating it's okay to myself over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Or I forget exactly what it was. It might have been something like, you know, I can take care of myself right now. And I'd repeat it over. And that night, it was like I didn't even sleep the whole night because I was doing that for like just hours at a time. But I think even that was helpful because it was some kind of like proof that I actually could be there, you know, for myself the whole time.
Yes, right, exactly. And the difficulty I project that you're running into is that in the moment that you do fall asleep, you know, there's kind of like falling off a cliff. So you're there taking care of yourself, and then you're not. In other words, you're not repeating that. You're not present to that message, which is what makes me wonder if listening to a recording of your voice saying it, even when you fall asleep, you're still hearing that message.
Well, I guess I should try to find a way then to make something that's long enough, like that's likely to be long enough that I'll fall asleep. You know what I mean?
Yes. And that you'll get through the first stages of sleep and into a deep sleep. And then, of course, you might it might wake you up again because we know that conditioning has that ability. So, you know, perhaps the sensations are there even while you're sleeping and the anxiety begins and, you know, then the anxious dreams start and you might wake up into that. But if you're right there ready with the voice again and to come back to sleep and take yourself through that, it might begin to, you know, change the orientation. I don't know that, but it seems worth a try.
Yeah, I think that's kind of similar to what I've been finding because things have kind of gotten better because this happened like 3 weeks ago and things have kind of gotten better since then. And I found that it's sort of like just training myself to be in a readiness position to be conscious, like so that when I have the opportunity, because when I'm asleep, I can't, you know, I don't have the opportunity, but just to be ready to step up, you know, right when it's needed and to just practice that and to kind of think about that and you know, have that in mind as a goal, that I think even that has just been helpful by itself.
Oh, I would say more than people can even imagine that's helpful. Because as you know, karmic conditioning, especially self-hate piece of karmic conditioning, thrives in distraction. So that's, you know, that's what people are constantly talking, it just lulls into not paying attention, not being there, and then wham, getting hit with something, and then lulled again into drifting off and and not paying attention and get slammed again. So what we're learning to do in practice, of course, is be there all the time, as you're saying, to train ourselves to be here instead of wandering off somewhere and leaving the poor human unattended.
Yeah.
And it is tricky when we're talking about sleep, because we do, to whatever degree, leave the human unattended. But that doesn't mean that we can't, as you say, be at the ready.
Yeah, and the other thing I found is also that if I just sort of remind myself of things, to just kind of practice repeating to myself things that I kind of know to be true, but when you're kind of in that fuzzy in-between state, like being half asleep, half awake, you might not think. I don't know. Basically, it's been, when it happened, I thought it was going to go on forever, and then this was going to go on for 6 months or a year, but then, you know, all the meditation I've been doing at other times and the practice has just been really helpful to bring some consciousness to the whole process.
Yes, and, you know, earlier Anna was talking about having that you can do it section on her recording, and then the voice, the mentoring voice, just coming in at times during the day unexpectedly and saying you can do it. So it's that same process. For you, it would be a different message, but it's that same process of changing the habitual patterns, the conditioned patterns, moving away from what doesn't support you and replacing those with patterns that do support you. And we'll be there even in those fuzzy in-between times, and eventually we'll be there while you're sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really been the big help. Because when I practice something like, I don't know, I mean, anxiety has a way of sucking you in and telling you things like, oh, you know, this might never go away, or, and I mean, I've been through it enough times and that I know it will go away. And so I can kind of actually, now I can actually remember, well, you know, actually it will go away because it's always gone away every single time it's happened before, or else I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead by now.
Right. I have no experience of it not going away. I have no experience surviving this. Yeah.
Exactly, but you just have to think about it enough to be able to remember it when you need to remember it, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly so. And it is, you know, so there is present moment conscious awareness. Yes, that is what we're going for. And in the background, what we're actually doing is training ourselves to a different orientation, right? So that the whole practice that we do, not just recording and listening, but all of practice that brings us into the present moment, that has us see and talk to ourselves about a reality that is different from the one that we were conditioned to believe in. So it's training ourselves here, where I am now, what's in my environment, what am I hearing, what am I seeing, instead of lost in that programming of conditioned mind. So we're changing that orientation as we are practicing being present and vigilant. You know, as you have that kind of warrior stance with it, you know, it's not a passive sort of, well, yeah, I'm here, and gosh, I hope nothing happens, but a vigilant, yes, I'm here, I'm going to take care of you, I'm here with you, all right, you're okay. So those two things are happening simultaneously, both of which are taking us out of that old karmic conditioning and the self-hate that goes with it, bringing us into the present.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but the general message is, yeah, that's exactly what I've been experiencing.
Oh, good. I'm going to
take my newly laundered earbuds and hope that this is better. Is that better?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. So anyway, all I was saying was that it's kind of a twofold approach. Yes, we're practicing being present, being here right now, and we're also changing the, if you will, the conversation that we're living in.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be a conversation particularly with words, but there is a constant translating what's around into a language, if you will. And so that process, it goes on when we're awake, and as we practice it more, it also goes on even when we're asleep, and certainly in that in-between stage.
Okay, well, I'll give the reflective listening thing a try, specifically with this, and thanks for taking my call and for taking all the calls.
Yeah, you're welcome, and let me know how it goes, okay? I'm vitally interested in this sort of thing. So, all right,
okay.
Take care. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Dennis. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good. Michael, how's the sound now? Is it better?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
Great.
Hey, Sherry, it's Dan.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, sorry, Michael, I cut you off. But yes, this is Dan in Cambridge.
Hey, Dan.
I've been listening to the show tonight, and with each caller has just brought up so much stuff that now I don't even know what to talk about. It's just right now, I guess I'm just mostly filled with this huge sense of awe at how hard we're all practicing.
Oh, exactly. Yes, and amazement at what we're up against.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, for me, it's sort of, maybe I'm not letting myself take that in because it would be too scary or something, but it's almost, my attention goes to just that everybody, it's like no matter where you put your gaze, no matter where you put your attention, any detail is rich enough to spend kind of every waking moment practicing with.
Yes.
You know, and so for one person, it's one thing, and for another person, it's an entirely different thing. For another person, it's an entirely different thing. But each of us has something that is all we need. Any little thing is huge enough to wrestle with all day long.
Yes, and all together, we create a whole. Right? I mean, we're taught...
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we're all doing the same thing with all these different things.
Precisely. And we're meant to see each other as different and separate. Mm. And, you know, I don't really understand what's going on with you. And what is her problem?
Why would you worry about that?
Yeah, exactly. But with all of us together, it's like each of us is working on a knot. And as we all get them, you know, each one of us gets our little knot loosened, the whole fabric smooths out.
Yeah, and it's cool because with each knot that I heard about tonight, I was like, oh, I've worked on that knot. Oh, I've worked on that knot. Oh, I've worked on that knot. And they all sound so different, but they're not.
They're not. Very good.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So that's just cool.
Somebody in the email class, I was just, I think it was today, they were expressing amazement that something like kindness to the self is such a revolutionary idea.
Yeah.
And there it is. You know, there.
Right.
To me, that just, it just captured it so perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, what comes up for me hearing that is it's revolutionary because the first thing that came up for me is it's revolutionary because it's so hard to figure out how to do. And I think what really is going on there is now I'm seeing what you started with when I got on the phone, which is what we're all up against.
Yes. Because
it shouldn't be hard to figure out how to do, but it is hard to figure out how to do through all this fog that we have to figure it out through.
Yes, yes. And that kind of puts another layer on it. So here are people, you know, we're all working tremendously hard and a lot of times in a deep fog.
Yeah.
Because it is so, you know, we're just trained not to be able to see life as it really is. So just something like that. In fact, I responded to the person, you know, none of us would ever say to a child, you really should be unkind to yourself. You know,
right.
being unkind to yourself is the way to be a good person. You know, that's just not going to happen. And yet, how many of us as adults believe that it's okay to be unkind to ourselves because that's part of how you're a good person? You know,
yeah,
if you're really nice to yourself, then you're going to be lazy and indulgent and...
Right, so that's what we model and that's what we communicate regardless of what we would say.
Precisely.
And how long it takes
and how much looking is required even to realize that's going on with us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the voices that we hear in the head give messages that we believe because we've been taught to believe them, and then to try to get it. No, that information is not correct. That's not true.
Yeah.
The way to be a good person is to start by being kind to myself, and then that's the way I can be kind to everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
In all kinds of places, to have my own experience trump what I've been told.
It takes
a kind of a growing up that I'm still working on.
Yeah, that we're all closing in on.
Yeah.
But as we've said
many times, when you hear other people doing it, it all becomes a lot clearer. And so tonight's calls have just been amazing, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Well, you are so very welcome. It's always good to hear.
Thank you to everybody, to all of us.
Yeah, to everybody in the Sangha. Yeah, and especially to Elizabeth, who we hope will continue to join us because we need that kind of courage that says, wait a minute, I don't get this. Why are you? Good. Is there more?
Okay. There isn't. It turns out that's what I called to say tonight.
Perfect.
So thank you very much.
Perfect.
And have a great
Thanks,
Michael, thank you, and Sherry, thank you, and have a good week.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I'm just filled with gratitude, Sherry.
Me too. Every day is Thanksgiving for us.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful life.
Yes. Yeah. Another good holiday message. Yeah.
No pun intended.
Right. Yes. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good
night. Good
night.